Verse 3 says, confide in His word. His promises are so sure. And it goes on to say, though earth pass away, they never, they ever shall endure. It's great to know that God's word's ever going to endure. Not all the promises in it will never pass away. If you could turn your Bibles, please, to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, in the chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 1. And it came to pass that as he, that's Jesus Christ, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We'll end the reading there. Then the verse 13. And just as Christ has even just commanded us there, ask and it shall be given you. Let us just ask, just very simply and briefly, that the Lord will help me, I need it, and will also help you to hear his word. He's promised there, seek and you shall find. So let us pray and plead God's promise, just simply and honestly. Not looking for a big emotion, but just trusting in his word. Our Heavenly Father, thy Son here commands us to ask. And Father, we're asking thee now. Lord, be pleased to speak to us. Let us know thy presence. But Lord, above all, please speak to us. We need to hear from thee, Lord. We need to be guided. We need to be taught. And so, Lord, for the glory of thy Son and for his kingdom, speak to us now. And may we go out here changed because you have spoken to us and we've been led on with thee. We know more about thee. We know how to rely upon thee all the more. And even claim thy promises for thy glory and for thy kingdom. In our Saviour's name we ask. And Lord, I trust Thee to answer, because You have promised to. Give me the Holy Spirit afresh. May Thy word here go forth with life and with power to all that are here, including my own heart. Amen. I want to try and paint a picture in your head this morning, just at the start. And I want you to imagine a man in his mid-30s. He's big and he's strong, and he's a joiner. And he's got nice, large, leathery hands. And he's extremely skilled at his job. He's had to learn it from whenever he was young, but he's got to the stage where he's extremely skilled. He's above many others who are joiners. This man has a son. And a son just looks up to his father and just goes, I just want to be like you, Daddy. I want to be big, I want to be strong. I want to have those leathery hands. And I want to be extremely skilled at joinery. I want to be really good as you, because I just want to be like you. And the father, seeing his son's desire, he would love to show his son how to be good. How to be good at the joinery. And to teach him, to steer him, and to show him methods so that he'll learn and progress and become as best, as good as he possibly can be. But yet, the son's quite independent. He's got that independent attitude, and the son just wants to try and learn it himself. He says, you know, Dad, you're really good. And I want to be as good as you, but I want to do it myself. I want to do it in my own strength, with my own thoughts, and I want to be able to come to the end of my life and say that I taught myself. So the son works really, really hard. He spends many hours trying to learn joinery. And every time he comes to the end of a project, he looks at the finished product and then he compares that to his father's. And he just gets disappointed. Just not as good. So he tries again and he goes on to another project. And he works really hard on it. He spends even more hours at it. Puts all his strength and effort into it. And then whenever it's finished, he again compares it to his father's. And he goes, it's just not the same standard. It's just not the same quality. It just won't last as long. His father would love to teach him, to show him. But a son just wants to try and do it himself. How often do we have that desire to do God's work? To do what's right and what's good. But yet we try and do it in our own strength. Try and do it our own selves. We don't want to have to rely on God. We want to try and, I'm able to do it. And just try and do it in our own strength. Whenever we look at the finished product, falls far short of God's standard. And our product, our results of our work and our labours won't last. It's not the same quality. And this most certainly won't last for eternity. This morning I want to talk to you about God's promise of good gifts. You see, God our Father desires to give us good gifts. You see, here in Luke chapter 11. Christ is away praying. And with the context, his disciples, it tells that the disciples are with him. And the disciples, hearing Christ pray, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. I always thought it actually said there, Lord, teach us how to pray. But it doesn't even say that. It just says, teach us to pray. Lord, just teach us to talk with God. Just get us started. Teach us what to pray. Don't worry about big fancy phrases or eloquence. Lord, just teach us to pray. And then Jesus Christ, in verses 2 to 4, tells them, teaches them how to pray. Then verse 5, he then gives an example, an illustration of it, about how the Father desires to hear us ask Him, desires to hear our petitions. Whenever I was studying for this year this morning, at the end of verse 1, whenever the disciples asked the Lord, you know, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples, And Matthew Henry, that great Bible commentator, he said that he had found out from his own studies of some other people that the Jewish people and those in Judaism and that religious system, whenever they prayed, they offered praises of adoration and of praise to God. But they very rarely ever asked for anything. However, the disciples had heard not only Christ pray, but also had heard of John the Baptist and his disciples pray, and how their prayers were filled with petitions. Completely opposed to how those in Judaism prayed. And so with eagerness they say, "Lord, Lord, teach us to pray." And then whenever Christ teaches them, you'll see that in every single instance, he fills it with petitions. "Come to your Father and ask. Ask and ask and ask." Yes, you're to give him praise, don't get me wrong. But God the Father desires us to ask him, just like that joiner who's a daddy. He desires his son, "Come and ask me and I'll teach you. Because I want you to be the best you can be." Then in verse 9 of Luke 11, Christ just gets to the core of prayer. To the absolute center of it. And he just says there, in Luke 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you." And this is what I want to talk about. This here, this promise. And if you can get a hold of it, you'll be flying. As people say, you'll be sucking diesel in your Christian walk. You'll be going real well. Because this is the center of how to pray and what to pray for. So let us just look at this promise that Christ gives to us. Well, let's just look at that word "ask." I just want to spend a few moments on it. Now, we have to do English in college, and people think that learning Greek can be difficult. Well, I'll be honest with you, learning the English is even more difficult. It's difficult, but God gives help. And I've learned many things. But I'll apply some of that knowledge here now. Ask. Well, that's a command. And if you think about a command, Christ, well, here is commanding us to come to the Father and ask him. And if you think, you can't command somebody to do something unless you actually want them to do it. I couldn't command Stephen to go and to hurry up and get something done unless they actually wanted him to go and do it. You only command somebody something if you want them to do that thing. And so we learn from that one word, the command, that God wants us to ask him. Now, with that simple truth, let me put a question to you, and I'll give you a multiple choice possibility of answers. Why do you think God wants us to ask him, to bring petitions before him? I'll give you three options, A, B, or C, and you can write it. If you've got pen and paper, you can write it down there, but otherwise you can just do it in your head. It's quite simple. A. God desires that we ask him so that he can ignore us. B. So that he can hear us and just say, "Nah," to mock us. Or C. So that he can supply our need and bless us. Why do you think God desires and commands us, "Come and ask me"? It's not just simply because he wants to bless us. He wants to supply our needs. In Psalm chapter 3 and the verse 8, we're told that the Lord's blessing is upon his people. He wants to bless us. So that's one thing we can learn from this word. But there's another thing we can learn as well, and that it's a command, and therefore it's also a verb, so it's an action. Now, you can't command somebody to do something. Like if I had to command Jim there, "Stand up." I'm not going to, but, "Stand up." I'm asking him to actively stand up. Or if I had to command somebody else to go out the door, I'm asking them to actively go out the door. So it's an action. And so Christ is calling us here to action. He's calling us here to actually do something. To call out to him. And to ask him, literally. So we're going to learn a little bit about that more in a minute, but let me just go to a third thing about this word ask. This is where learning Greek can sort of come into, or can help a bit. Because this word ask is the word aitio. You don't have to remember that, but there's some things that we can learn about this word aitio. First of all, it implies something physical, something literal. So basically a physical action, like what we've just seen. You know, physically act, stand up, go out the door, whatever it may be. But obviously in this example, ask is to literally call out with your voice. To call to God, to request something. Okay? So that's one thing about this word aitio. But also another word is that it's also not just physical, but it's emotional. And so whatever it is that you're to ask for, you're to actually desire it, to crave it. It's not just a fancy, something you fancy, but it's something you crave, something you desire. Like, for example, if you were stranded out in a sun-blazing desert, you know, you might fancy a pair of sunglasses, but you'd crave a map to get out of there. So it's not just through your call, physically, but you're also to crave it, to desire it. But there's also another thing that this word aitio implies, and that is that you're to come in humility. You see, there's another word in the New Testament that's equally translated ask, and it's the word eroteo. Again, you don't have to worry about it, but just understand there's a difference between the two. This second word, eroteo, implies someone asking or requesting something of another person of equal authority. Someone who's in the same powers. For example, if I can find it here. In Luke chapter 14, the verse 32, a king petitions another king, an equal authority. Whenever in that petition, the word ask is eroteo. Okay? Then in Luke chapter 19, the verse 32, it's a citizen of a country asks for something of a citizen of the country as well. So it's, again, equal authority. But this word aitio is different, because it's used of someone who petitions or requests something of someone of higher authority. An example would be Matthew 14:7, where a citizen petitions his king. And Luke 11, verse 11, here just in this chapter, we've got a child a son who asks of a father. In Acts 3, verse 2, we've got a beggar who petitions passers-by for alms. And then the most common use of this word, aitio, is where men ask God. Men ask God. They recognize their humility. They recognize who they are and how great God is. And in humility, they request. I'll just give one example. If you turn with me, please, to John chapter 11, and verse 22. I want to just show you an example here where these two words are used and show you the difference between them. John chapter 11, and go to verse 20. The context is that Mary, her brother Lazarus has died. And verse 19, we're told about how many of the Jews come and comfort her, as well as Martha. And then verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, and that's this word aitio, coming from a lower position to a higher position, whatsoever thou hadst asked, i.e. on my behalf, if thou wilt ask of God, on my behalf as a humble, submitted child of God, God will give it. See the humility there? Recognizing her lowly position and coming to God. But then there's, and then John, turn over just a few chapters to John chapter 18. And here, the context is Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's been arrested. He's been brought before the Sanhedrin. And in verse 19, he stands before the high priest. And the high priest, considering himself of equal authority, turns round, and we're told here, the high priest, verse 19, then asked, and this is that second word I wrote to you, asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. What do we find is Christ answers? Does he answer his prayer? Does he answer his request? No. Jesus Christ turned round and says, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. That priest came in arrogance and pride, thinking that he was of equal authority to Jesus Christ. Christ didn't answer. So just in summary, from one word we can learn a fair bit. Christ commands us to call literally upon God, to crave it, and to come humbly. Let us go on and see this promise. Ask and. Now, again, in my English class, I've learned a bit about this. And it says that and's a conjunction. Basically, it links one thing to another. It's a linking word. And this command that Christ has given, ask, he links it to something else. He binds it. Basically, like a chain, he puts it, he binds them together so it can't be separated. Ask and. It shall. Without doubt, 100% guarantee, it shall be given you. Now let's just briefly look at this here, be given you. Again, it's a verb, so it's an action word. But it's not something done by us this time. It's something that God does. We ask. That's something we do. God gives. That's a very simple truth that Christ is here teaching. He says, we act, God will act. We ask him, we come humbly, we crave it, and we call out to him, Lord, please, God will act. There's no doubt here. Absolutely none. It's a promise from God. Now, sometimes whenever we hear such a generous promise, we think, oh, but sure, it can't really be true. Well, let me just take a wee break from this here promise a minute and just ask you another question. If you're here and you're saved this morning, how do you know that you're saved? How do you have that assurance? Is it not because God's promised to save all those who call on his name? Romans 10:13. Is it not because of John 3:16? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is it not because of Acts 16:31 that if thou shalt believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved? That's a promise from God. And yet you put your whole life and your whole trust upon it. It's just written there, black and white. And you'll happily trust that promise. But what about this promise in Luke 11? Will you trust it? Will you put your whole life and ask God? Will you come humbly before him? Will you crave? And will you call out, Lord, please give it? And not due to emotion, not about goose pimples or how you feel, but simply trust, just as you do your salvation, that he will give it to you. Christ here gives a promise. Ask and it shall be given you. There's no reason for us to doubt God's promise. But just very quickly, let us look at the good gifts. You see, what does this promise apply to? You're saying, well, that's a very generous promise. Does that mean I can just ask for anything and know that God will give it? As long as I come humbly, crave it, and call out to him? Well, let us look at the context. Verse 9, Christ gives a promise, ask and it shall be given. Then in verse 11, verse 13, we're told, we'll go verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Christ here, he gives a promise, and then he sets the context. And he talks about how a father, just like that joiner we saw earlier on, was willing to give good gifts, willing to show kindness and goodness. And if we are evil, know how to do that. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts? Here an example is given of how much the heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. But in Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 9, which is a parallel, where Christ on another occasion tells the same thing, he says, how much will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? So what is it that Christ has promised? That if we ask God the Father, he will give us good things or good gifts. Now if you think about what something is good, like what does that mean, good gifts or good things? Well, you can easily understand that if you just think about the word good. In Mark chapter 10, the verse 18, we're told there is none good but one. That is God. Psalm 73 in the verse 1, we just read that simple statement. God is good. So everything that God does is good. Everything that God wills is good. Anything we see in life that's good has come from God. So Christ here gives a very, very generous promise. And he just states that the conditions of it, that if you ask anything that's good, anything that's in agreement to God's will, anything that's in agreement to his nature, you come humbly, you call out, and you crave it, he'll give it to you. No doubt. I sat down and tried to think of loads of things, like what examples of what we could plead to God and know that he'll give it because it's in his nature. For example, the characteristics of God. God is our guide. In Psalm 48, in verse 14, we're told that for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. And then those famous verses in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you're here this morning, you're looking for guidance, and you're a child of God, call out to God. Do you crave it? Come humbly, and he'll give it to you. What about if you're here and you're lacking wisdom? I'll put up my hand. Well, throughout the scripture, the character of God. Is he one that gives us wisdom? If we ask him for it, yeah. James 1 verse 5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. Or even, you don't have to just have a specific verse, but if you think of other examples where you've got the likes of Solomon, whenever he was made king, he cried to God and said, God, I need wisdom. I need understanding to know how to rule these people. Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. And God, according to his nature, he gave it. Ask and it shall be given you. What about here and you desire to know truth? If you're here and you're not saved and you want to know, is this true? Is what the Bible really says is true? Well, in Psalm 27, we're told, the Lord is my light. The Lord is the one who reveals things to me. Come to him and ask him, Lord, if this is true, speak to me and show it to me. Give me the faith to believe it. Earlier on, we were praying for God to speak and to move, and even to speak in this time. Well, is there anything that we've got in God's word that we can plead to God that's in agreement to his nature, that's in agreement to how he's acted in times past, that he will move? Yeah, there is. You think of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We're commanded to pray to God our Saviour. And then we're told that He will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He desires for His truth to be known. And He promises whosoever shall come to Him. But even more than that, in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 11, I was reading this just the other day. And you know the story about how Jonah, he was asked of God to go to Nineveh. He didn't go. He got swallowed by a big fish. He was vomited out, and then he went to Nineveh and he preached. And he didn't want to see the people saved, return to the Lord. And then God turned around and said to Jonah, Jonah, there's 120,000 people in that city. They can't discern between their left hand and their right hand. I.e., there's 120,000 children in that city. Would it not be merciful for me to show mercy and to save the people so that they will be able to bring their children up in the right knowledge of God? Surely that's a character of God that we can plead. God, this town, this country has turned so wickedly against you. There's children being brought up. They'll not know what's true. They'll not know God's way. Lord, you did it in Nineveh with Jonah. Will you not do it here in Newton Arns? Come and send the revival. As thy word goes forth, make it effectual. And save people so they will be able to bring their children up in the right way. There's loads and loads of other examples that I've got written down here, but I'll not go through them. But the simple premise is this. Christ here has went to the effort of not only telling, giving a promise to his disciples, but even of getting it written down in Scripture, and then for 2,000 years preserving it so that no man will ever take it out, that will never get lost. He wants us to have this promise. He wants us to know it. He just simply says, ask. Ask for anything that's in agreement with my nature. Anything that will glorify me. And I will give it. If you ask, it can't be separated. He will give it. You may not have it immediately. You may not feel a big emotion. Whenever you ask for God to save you, child of God, has He not saved you? You may not have the emotion. But you have that simple trust in God's word that He'll give it. And you've assurance that He'll answer. You staked your whole life and your whole eternal salvation on it. Will you not do the same with this promise? Just as I close, perhaps you're here this morning and you've got God, you've heard God's promise and you believe it's true, but you just don't have the desire. You just don't have the desire to ask for God's will to be done. You just don't have that desire to ask for God to be glorified. If you are, I know how you feel. Sometimes I never wake up in the morning. I just think of what I've got to do that day. And yes, I love God. But I just don't seem to have that heart for Him. And that just shows the importance of a quiet time. So whenever you wake up in the morning, or sometime during the day, I strongly encourage you, spend some time and remember who God is. And how much He's loved you. Because you see, whenever you see how much God loves you. Of all the people He could have chosen to save, He chose to save you. Even though you would rebel against Him. Even though that you would take the gifts that He gave you and you just throw them back in His face and say, I'll do whatever I want with it. He still promised. He still chose to save you. Even though you'd never want it, He chose to break into your life to change your will, to give you a new heart, and to give you life and faith to see Him, to believe on Him, and to trust Him. He saved you, child of God. And you think back all the years, or however long you've been saved, He's kept you. And ever you failed Him, has He just given you up and said, well, you had your chance? No. He's kept you. Whenever you've fallen, He's lifted you up again. Whenever you've turned, He's brought you back. He's shown so much love to you. And He's promised to keep you. He doesn't say, well, you've fallen, you've went away 5, 10 times, well, or 100 times, whatever it may be. Well, it's up to you now. You can just do it in your own strength. No, He says, I'll keep you. He that keepeth Israel, the people of God, shall not faint. He's promised to be your strength. He's promised to be your guide. Think of all of God's goodness to you. And you haven't had to earn any of it. You haven't had to work for it. But God has freely given it to you. It's a gift. Because Jesus Christ has lived and died for you. And He's praying that He'll ever bestow more gifts upon you. Because He's purchased them. Blessed be the God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. If you're here this morning, you've got the promise, but you don't have that desire, can I encourage you to each day set aside some time and to remember who God is? Perhaps that's why after Christ, after giving this promise, asking it shall be given you, He goes on to say, seek and you shall find. Psalm chapter 27, verse 7. David tells us how God commanded him, seek ye my face. See my face, see my countenance, and how much I love you. But that requires faith. And we can't build up our faith. If you're having that quiet time in the morning, I've had it many occasions, and you want to see God, you want to see remember how much He's loved you. But you just, I don't know, it's like a cloud on your head, or just a big block, big road sign. You just can't seem to get through. It's like a brick wall. You just don't seem to have the faith. Well, you can't build it up. Because faith is a gift from God. But then Christ goes on to say, knock, and it shall be opened. Here, we've got 3 doors. But Christ gives 3 keys to unlock everyone. Knock, come to God. Oh, Father, please, give me that faith to see Thee. Shall be opened. Lord, as I seek Thee, let me find Thee. Let me see afresh Your love for me. Seek and you shall find. And as you see God's love afresh to you, you will love Him back. Not because you feel you have to, but because you want to. And you'll pray, Lord, I want Your name to be glorified. I want people to know who You are. I want to walk right. Whenever I come to that temptation, Lord, I want that strength. Lord, I want that wisdom. I want that guidance. Lord, I want other people to be saved. I want You to purify my own heart. Lord, all of these things are in agreement to Your nature. You said, ask. Lord, I'm coming humbly. Lord, I crave it because I love You. And Lord, I'm calling out. And You've promised to you, it shall be given me. God's promises of good gifts to us as children. There's just one more promise. Not only is God the one who guides us, not only is He the one who keeps us, but in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, we're told that salvation is of the Lord. And if you're here and you're not saved, you have a promise you can plead to God. Your word tells us that You are the Lord of salvation. Lord, save me. come into my heart and give me those new desires. That I'll leave all of my sin. Save me. You promised to. And God bless His word to your heart.